Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. I enjoyed the Eclipse show yesterday, but nice to just be like in the studio and nothing weird going on and upstairs and the whole bit. Update, since so many of you reached out on social media about my mom, that was very sweet of you. It's like hurry up and wait, lots of frustration. Yesterday, she was supposed to be transported from the hospital in Alton to her new facility by ambulance in the morning, and at 9 at night we were still waiting, and Nick the Saint was with her from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. the whole time, never left her side. He's wonderful. And then at night they're like, yeah, not gonna happen, it'll happen tomorrow.
Oh boy.
So I just left her at her new facility. I'm praying to God that she has the best cheeseburger of her life, because they were going to bring her a cheeseburger. And I'm like, please be a good one. Please be a good one. You know, something positive. But she's a little more lucid. She still thinks she's on a casino boat a lot of the time. She was saying, like, she's looking around her room and she looked at the blood pressure machine. She goes, that's the worst slot machine I've ever seen. And I'm like, you're not wrong. Like, no one's going to win jack crap from that thing. So, yeah, anyone who's been through this, it's, you know, especially when it's kind of sliding, you know, some days it's a big, quick slide, and other days they seem to climb back up the slide. And having been through this with my dad, although every person's different, but, yeah, that's kind of it's kind of where we're at. But I hooked her up with her best friend, Charlotte, today, Charlotte Fouch. And they spoke on the phone. It was so sweet. They're talking on the phone like they're 13 years old. It was really sweet.
That's fun.
I said, get off the damn phone.
I need the phone.
Yeah, paid her back. I'm waiting for a phone call. Who are you talking to? She's going into another room and stretching the cord out. So, yeah. Amy, your denim jacket's intimidating me.
It's a big one, isn't it? It's like an oversized, and then see how it has the, it's got slits, like a kind of cut.
Yeah, come on. It's very 90s, I love it.
Yeah. Thank you. Cool. I know, I've never been a denim jacket person, and I've wanted one, but I always just feel like the dopiest doofus of all doofuses.
You look good. It's not the jacket, dude.
But no, but I do a regular jacket. But this one, it was just a different one. This one spoke to me.
Oh, good.
What did it say?
Said by me.
Denim jackets will always be the Roxanna smoking area uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
If you write Van Halen on it in ink, I'll be.
Oh,
terrified,
can we do that?
Well, I've got my cigarettes in the pocket.
There you go.
There you go.
You used to write on them in ink?
I mean, I never did.
But they did?
Oh, yeah. My God, yeah. Yeah.
That was a 70s thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did. Well, okay.
What kind of ink?
Like what?
Just ink pens.
Like pens, except like you would scribble on in the part that needed to be filled in. Like you would draw it and then.
If you give me 10 minutes, I can make a real nice mason jar for you on the back.
Oh!
That would be sweet.
Did you have a denim jacket, Kevin?
I don't think. Maybe.
You probably
maybe
missed
as
that
a, I might have as a kid in the early 80s, maybe.
You were more of a peg jeans.
Oh, that was. Oh, yeah. I
Miami
showed you guys the
Vice
pictures. Yeah, yeah. We were definitely more of the. Yeah, the if you're talking about like if you were getting dressed up,
yeah,
it's like a pink T-shirt with a white jacket, you know, like
I can tell
teal pants.
When I was okay, so I think we can agree that junior high is probably your dorkiest phase.
Yeah,
and every generation has its own brand, except for me, because my generation had a brand of dorky, but I invented my own.
Oh,
like
okay.
For example, I wore a lot of velour.
Nice.
Velour.
That sounds.
That's like.
That sounds fun.
After it was in, but before it was in again.
Kind of. Okay. Yeah, because like a few years later, when Run DMC did, everyone's like, "I gotta get me a running suit." And what I wanted, this was a real thing with Jack and Francis. God love them because they, you know, they did their best. But I wanted like an Adidas tracksuit, right? Like a red one with white stripes or a blue one or a black one.
Yeah.
And what I got was sort of a burgundy velour with cream stripes.
That's still probably
if
awesome.
If someone were caught on Everest, if you could just put this outfit on them, they'd be toasty warm in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was 13 and every part of my body was broken out in acne. And so I'm like, well, I'll just wear velour head to toe. That's going to, you know, velour breathes, right?
Yeah.
And it was just...
Oh.
It was the worst. It was just the worst.
Probably looked good, though.
No, God.
Come on, that sounds great.
Man.
Now, like, if that happened today, at least some kids would go, like, that guy's got his own style. Look at that guy.
I think that stuff's way more acceptable now to just be different.
Back then, no.
No, in our time, it was like, fit in.
Yeah.
Fit in.
Do you remember, you always talk about the off-brand items.
Yep.
Do you remember your first real brand
Better
name?
Believe it, sister.
Oh,
I
yeah?
wanted Puma Clydes so bad. They were $28.50 at JCPenney. And I saved my money, and my mom and dad had to take me because they said, hey, you want it, you buy it. And I'll never forget it. My dad stood behind me and just cussed the whole time. And the 16-year-old or whoever it was helping me try on the shoes. He was like, you got a job. Can you afford these? You know, and I'm just like, keep on talking, old man. I'm putting the Puma Clydes on. And this is very sad, but I've told the story before. I went in the next day. This would have been seventh grade, and I had already been working my fake Pumas, my tracks with two X's from Kmart, telling people they were Italian Pumas.
They didn't
buy it. So I came in with my real Pumas, blue with white striped Clydes, sit down, and I'm just ready to drink in the love. And the one guy whose name I've never said, and I never will, because I'm sure he turned into a fine person, goes, you realize that this does nothing. You're still South Rexiana white trash.
Yeah. Dang.
That's so
I mean, kids were definitely cold as hell in that time period.
Cold.
Yeah.
Were you like,
quite a
so
lesson.
Are you?
No, he wasn't. He was Rosewood Heights royalty.
Wow. There is actually a huge...
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Wow. Andrew's like,
you know what, Dave? That guy was right.
No, I didn't dispute him.
Yeah. Andrew's like, you know,
tough.
I think he had a point.
That's tough.
I'm like, look, I am South Rexana white trash with Pumas, my friend, okay?
Yeah. Wow.
You know what our first thing was Jordans. It was that's the first thing I remember everybody coveting were Jordans in junior high. And I remember the first kid who ever got him, his name was Jason, and he got the Jordan 2s. And everybody was like, wow, you have, and he was so careful about keeping them clean.
Any idea what they cost back then? Do you have any memory?
No, I do not remember. Because I don't think I got Jordans until much later.
I want to say they were in the 40s. Like between 40 and 50 bucks.
That's it?
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. When I was in high school, I'm still playing basketball in freshman year. We were all getting like the.
I just can't picture.
I know. It's crazy, right? Just remember this. Like, I was the.
I can picture you being a basketball.
I was the 10th guy on the second freshman team. So there's 10 guys on the first freshman team. There's 10 guys. So
come
I was,
here and let me hug you.
No, I don't care. I was good at something else. I knew I wasn't good at basketball. I was just there for the fun. And but we were all getting the shoes, and we were like comparing, and our parents were doing the complainy thing. Like, I got Patrick Ewing's. I got the Adidas Patrick Ewing's because they were the same color as our school uniforms,
basketball
the blue.
Basketball shoes were cool, man.
Man, they were shiny, too. Remember how shiny the basketball shoes were?
You know what trend I don't think I started it, but I did it. I became fairly popular my junior, senior year because I started dating a popular girl with a popular family. And all the guys that hung out in that group would wear wrestling shoes.
Oh.
Like unlaced.
Really?
And so I started that one.
Interesting.
And it hurt bad because there's like no.
No sole.
There's nothing. They're like
there's
socks.
Slippers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but look, I would have walked on nails to be considered cool, so.
That's one of the things I felt, I do feel like was lucky for me is we went to we always went to a pretty small Catholic school, so like fashion just didn't matter. You had a dress code.
Yeah.
And when you're a kid, it's not like you're going anywhere but to like practice.
Do you think that's a benefit? Like,
I think so because it made me not care.
Yeah.
And then in high school, again, Catholic school, all guys, so nobody gave a crap. You know, you weren't trying to show off for anybody.
I know at all girls Catholic schools, the girls, like Phoebe's friends who went to all girls schools, they're like, oh my God, you want to see some girls looking rough. Like
that was us.
You roll out of bed, you jump in the car, you go to school, who cares?
That was us in high school.
Rach, what did you covet? Sartorially.
So I was in high school from like 2005 to 2009. So that was the heyday of like American Eagle and Hollister and Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah.
And I could not afford any of that stuff. But we would go to Value City in Alton and you could buy like three seasons ago American Eagle stuff. clearance.
Did you get called out for it, or were you
okay? No, people were cool. Like, my school was small enough, and no one was really, like, bawling that hard to where it was like, oh, my Abercrombie and Fitch drip on today. Like,
right.
Everybody was pretty equal.
Yeah. Our buddy Rick Horton just texted me, and he said he wore Chuck Taylors in high school. That was the big thing.
People still wear.
I know. Taylors
are still a thing.
I texted him back. I'm like, they've got staying power.
They forever will be.
Yeah. He said they've come back twice. And then they've come back twice retro.
That's funny. That's great.
Good call, Ricky.
You know what, though? Rick will remember this. Like, I love Chuck Taylors. You cannot play a sport in those things. Like, those are ankle breakers.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, like, when Ricky said that, he probably did wear them for sports.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
Like, I did, too, for, like, an like
me
in the,
too.
And it was not good.
No.
They were not good. They didn't, your fit
snap,
was
snap,
the,
snap.
Ankles rolling, the soles were really, like, flat.
Well, there's no support. Like,
right.
They've got no support anywhere but
but they look good, though.
That brings back, Ron, you'll love the story, so will Ricky if he's listening. So, again, desperate to stand out in some positive way, right? And I was always fast, and I was in seventh grade basketball practice. I apologize to Rachel and Andrew, they've heard the story so many times. But I was just outrunning everyone, and the coach goes, I bet this kid, because no one knew my name, I bet this kid could run faster backwards than all of you. He's like, do it, do it. And I'm like, here we go. And so I got off the mark faster than anyone else. And we all know that feeling when you're running backwards and you know you're going to fall.
Uh-huh.
And it took me the rest of the court to fall. I swear I was parallel to the court for half the court. And then when I finally fell, I hit my head about 18 times.
Oh, you did the bounce?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And did you win, though?
Everyone's like, the coach is like, hit the showers. It just never worked out for me.
No.
I had a really great, this is a great analogy for life, though. So I was a pretty good football player, but I didn't play like pads and tackle until ninth grade. And that's a different deal. That's a different animal. And so my very first thing that happened was they handed me a tackling dummy and we're doing a tackling drill. And Perry Steelman, one of the biggest, toughest kids on the whole team, was tackling me. And I didn't know what to do. I just was standing there. And so he hits me and literally lifts me off the ground.
Oof.
And I land on my back and it busts my lip and I'm bleeding. Because I didn't know I was supposed to give resistance. I've never done this before. And the coach comes up to me and he goes, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And he goes, son, if you don't learn to defend yourself, you're never going to make it in this life. And I'm like 14 years old laying there with a busted lip. And I remember going, I should remember that.
Yeah. You just thought you're supposed to take it?
But,
just let it happen.
Yeah, I did. I just stood there. It's like stood there compliantly.
Oh, no.
I'm this like, is this not going
to
be good.
Seems like a terrible position to be in. But there's always going to be a Perry Steelman, right?
Oh, man.
How cool is it that Ricky Horton's listening? That's fun.
Yeah.
Now I'm nervous.
That's what I say. That's pressure, doesn't it?
Do parents come to your baseball practices?
Occasionally. I mean, some do, but mostly they either drop off or if they sometimes stay in the car if it's cold. But, yeah, there are a handful that'll sit outside in the seats.
That's another generational thing.
Yeah.
Like going to practices. Can you imagine our parents coming to practices and bringing us, like, fruit.
Snacks
we all just got
stuff,
dropped off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty rare. But the people that do it typically are the ones that have long drives.
Yeah.
Like some of our guys come from an hour and a half away. So what else you can do?
And play dates.
Yeah.
The concept of play dates.
No.
Right? Hello, could Dave come over and play with Daryl? Like, what?
The phrase play date, that didn't exist.
Now you know what? You're probably right.
Yeah. That didn't even exist.
I only remember it for little
kids.
Like I remember it from my sister being like 3 and 4 years old when I was in college. Yeah.
So on a play date, which is it? Are you forcing your kids to be friends or are the kids forcing the parents to be friends with each other?
I think it's either way. Like it depends on the circumstance.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, because if parents are friends, you're stuck with that kid.
You know what I really remember is being taken to not a strange house as in like, hey, this is Ned, he's a pedophile, but like somewhere you're not used to going.
Right.
And there's a big barbecue going on and all the kids are in the basement And it was like the first night at Shawshank when they're throwing the lie on you and they're hosing you down. And you just walk down the stairs. There are all these kids, and there's always one bigger kid beating some little kid, and they're playing a game that makes you uncomfortable. And you go upstairs, and you're like, can I just hang out here? Like, get your ass down to the basement. That was just like, what are you going to do? You can't walk home.
That would always happen to me at like a family reunion with distant relatives.
Yes.
And my dad would be like, why are you so shy?
These are cousins.
That's your cousin. I'd be like, I'm so scared right now.
And there's no one weirder in the world than your cousins.
Why is that so true?
It's so true.
It's so weird.
My cousins weren't weird. You know what that means, though? That means I was probably the one they were like, why is that ginger so weird?
I want to play with Kevin.
Kevin likes baseball, too.
Yeah.
Listen, Kevin's your cousin. You be nice to him.
He doesn't have a denim jacket.
Did you guys ever have like friends or cousins over where when they did come over, you'd have to like hide your good stuff or shut your bedroom door so they wouldn't destroy everything? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was very particular about, in particular, my video games, right? Because that was my thing. Even as a kid, it was video games, and I've got my, you know, save files, right, and all that. And my mom would always be like, no, let them play your games. And I'm like, no, you're going to mess everything up.
They're destructive.
You don't understand.
That is funny. Like, I don't think I've ever really thought that through, but like, everyone has a cousin they love. And everyone has a cousin that's either in or should be in prison, right?
Yes.
Right? 100%. Mm-hmm. And then you got, like, the filler, where you're just like, oh, you're that guy.
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of cousins that were way older than me, though. My dad was the 9th of 10, so there were a few of us that were, like, in my age range, but most of them were, like, you know, the cool high school kids when I was, like, 10. I was like, I can't go hang out with them. They don't want me.
Now it's coming out.
They were finally getting to the bottom of something. My cousins that were older were the nicest. They were like our babysitters, and they were
very getting
cool.
to the bottom of the
he
top.
He almost had a feeling.
Oh no!
It sure looked like one. Didn't it
looked like a feeling. It did.
No.
What is the salty discharge?
Maybe someday. Maybe one day it was.
Because then no one wanted to play with me, which was cool.
Which is good. It didn't bother me.
It's what I wanted.
Actually, the only sucky part was that meant I had to play with my brother being there. Yeah, when you got a little brother, it's like no fun. He's fun now, though.
Picturing Wheeler and like family barbecues, and the parents are like, the kid appears to have no feelings whatsoever.
Oh my God. No, my play was like, seriously, my play was like, I don't care what they're doing. If they're playing basketball, I'm playing with the older kids and I'm going to kick all their butts. And then I would end up being terrible.
Yeah,
and
he's back.
Sure.
That's what I did.
Can't picture anyone that could be better than an older person in basketball.
I mean, when you're 10 or 12.
38 seconds of vulnerability, we have a new record.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Nobody wants to play with me, but it's fine. I don't want to play with them either.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand their high school games.
Yeah. This is brutal. As a person.
Oh, it's just hair instead of the nose.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Coming up in about 1 hour, we'll talk to Ricky Horton, Stairway to Kevin, Dave Murray headlines. Then we have the Think Tank with Jeff Rainford and Judge Tom Frawley. So we have some SLU basketball conspiracy theories, maybe?
So they just yesterday hired former Indiana State coach Josh Schertz, who is thought of very highly. Indiana State had an excellent year. They were snubbed out of the NCAA tournament. They should have gone, and Virginia went in their place, and pretty much everybody at the time of the selection said it shouldn't have been them. They're not going to be any good. It should be Indiana State.
Yeah.
Indiana State goes to the NIT championships. Virginia gets steamrolled in the first round. So anyway, Josh Schertz, pretty good coach. They got a player named Robbie Avila who is... He's the guy with all the nicknames.
Yeah. Larry Blurred.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. a big white guy with glasses. And he just doesn't
love him.
He doesn't look like he would be really good at basketball other than he's tall. but he's really good at basketball.
He's
very
skilled.
It's being reported that he has entered the transfer portal.
And explain that for the newbies and for me.
Which means that he can now go to a different school and play. The conventional wisdom is he's going to want to follow Josh Schertz to SLU.
Nice.
So he could end up here. But also Indiana State, all five of their starters and a couple of guys off the bench have entered the portal too. So
we could kind of have Indiana State's team.
Could. Kevin informed me of a thing that I did not realize. I did not realize they could pull a scholarship a player for any reason they want
How
to.
How is SLU set for next year? Are they losing a lot of seniors?
I mean, when you're coming, there are a few guys, yeah. But, I mean, when you're coming off the year that they just had and a new coach is coming in, it wouldn't shock me. I haven't checked, but it wouldn't shock me if a bunch of SLU guys went into the portal too.
Hey, Andrew, why don't you call Rammer, see if he can join us at some point.
Sure. So, but here's the thing. It, you know, Avila might not come here.
Right.
He could have offers from a lot of places. But if he does end up choosing SLU, that immediately becomes a ticket.
Oh, butts in the seats.
Yes. Yeah. And he's also I mean, he's social media famous. So it's like, it's bigger than just people here would buy tickets. I mean, people
students
would be following
be on board.
The Billikens. Yeah. I mean, he'd probably have it. They'd probably have a section of the student section dedicated to him.
Well, you said that you're pretty sure he has offers from other schools. What would be like a top school that might want him?
I mean,
like any of them
honestly,
might want him to be on the bench.
I can't
at least
see why any Big Ten team wouldn't want him or any SEC, ACC. I don't know that it's going to be like North Carolina.
Right.
But, I mean, there's no reason why he wouldn't be drawing attention from mid-level teams in those big conferences.
Right.
I mean, he's a big guy who can pass and shoot. He doesn't run very well. I mean, he's not super fast, and he may not be the greatest defender. But a big man, what is he 6'10"?
Yeah.
Big guy that can shoot and pass? That guy's going to have a value in the college world. So
how long have we had the portal?
The way that it is now, it's a few years.
Okay,
yeah.
Before that, it was what you.
Well,
just
before you'd have to like apply to transfer, and the coach would have to give you a release, and the coach could say, "Fine, I'll let you out of your commitment here, but you can't go to any other SEC school, or you can't go to our arch-rival or whatever." So it's a little less controlled now. Now they get to pick and choose better.
Here's what I'll say. We don't know if this kid in particular is going to show up, but Indiana State has some good players. And if that many guys are transferring, it's not just because their coach isn't at Indiana State any longer. It's because at least a couple of them have intent on following him to SLU.
Yeah.
So I would say by next year, the team immediately improves. It's just a question of how much they improve.
Yeah.
But if they get that kid, he's going to be an attraction in himself.
Yep.
So that would be a great get for the Billikens.
If he were on the SLU team this year, would he have been the best player?
Boy, that's a hard. I mean, it's because it all depends on like what you're being asked to do and how you fit into a system. But yeah, he would have been one of the best ones. Yeah. I mean,
he's got 3 years of eligibility.
And when you're a big guy that can shoot and pass, you have a spot. Now he certainly doesn't look like he's going to have an NBA future. Because you have to be able to run and defend and do all of that there, just like we talked about with Zach Edey from Purdue.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be in the NBA. The question is, what is he?
We'll be talking about the Cardinals an hour from now with Ricky, but let's talk about it now. What did you guys think of the game last night?
It's one of those frustrating ones because, it was a difficult game. You were going up against a pitcher that you would like to. And Spencer Turnbull's fine. Like, he's not an untalented guy. He's thrown a no-hitter in the major leagues. But he's filling in because another guy's hurt. And that was the guy you would hope you'd score runs against because you got Zach Wheeler against you tonight and Aaron Nola tomorrow. Those two guys are, you know, top
Lights
of the rotation.
Out, yeah.
You know, Zach Wheeler's one of the most talented pitchers in the sport, and Aaron Nola's probably one of the high-end number two starters in the sport. Like, so you're talking about two guys that fit in the top 30, 35 starters in the game.
Sonny Gray tonight?
Yeah, Sonny Gray tonight, which is good. But we don't know. Like, I have a feeling he's going to be on a pitch count.
Yeah.
Like 65, 70 pitches. So he's going to have to be really efficient to go more than three or four innings. But still, you know, you set that up. I think they have Zach Thompson set up to come in right after him to pick up some innings. So, you know, it's exciting. It's great to have him there. But man, you'd love to get last night because you had the big comeback in the ninth inning. You tied the game. And then, boom, two runs come across against Helsley, who is supposed to be your lockdown guy. Like, that's the guy you need to be money, lights out. And again, not picking on the guy. You're going to have games like this throughout the year. It's normal. But that's why it's a frustrating loss because you almost had it. Yeah. And it was your opportunity to get a game against a team that's good with two aces coming up the next two nights.
Zach is an attractive man, but he looks to me like on a movie when a baby immediately becomes a grown-up.
That sounds...
Yeah.
He's got the baby face.
Like a baby Finster. Like he got into a machine and just went... Whoop!
He's a baby that throws 94.
Exactly. He should play that up. Shave his head, put a bow on there. People will be like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Hey, real quick about the, just to go back to SLU for a second, I'd like to get your take on this, Kevin, because this is further reporting from 24/7 Sports. They cover high school. They say that Avila has put himself on that do not contact list.
Oh.
Hey. Which means...
He knows where he's going.
Right. So, yeah. Does he already know he's going to SLU?
Or does he know he's going somewhere else? I mean, like, yeah.
It could
yeah.
be any of those things.
Because when they put themselves in there, it's like a portal that all the coaches
can
go into,
out.
And then that's how they get to contact
this
him.
This is pretty in the weeds, but when SLU was talking to Schertz, are they allowed to say things like, do you think you could bring Larry Blurd with you? And is he allowed to go to Larry and go, hey, do you think you want to go to SLU?
I don't know that it has to be spoken. I think it's more of a, we're going to hire you. And obviously, you know, every coach is always networking and working contacts that they have. And,
yeah.
you know, and a lot of times it'll be the player, too. Like, hey, coach, if you leave, I want to come with you. You know, those kind of things. So sometimes it's not necessarily. But like people will say you're not allowed to do that. But you're not going to tell me conversations right. don't
again,
happen.
You know, they do on this.
This is, again, pretty in the weeds. But Calipari from Kentucky going to Arkansas. Talk to me about that.
So obviously Kentucky is. What?
Kentucky.
Ranch, one of the two or three biggest programs.
Blood. Yep.
Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina,
like
Duke.
And, like, yep.
you know, maybe throw in one other, but those are the big four probably. But he's at a point now where if he doesn't win a national championship every year, he's getting killed. And it's been a while now since they've won a national championship. So it sounds like they're like, okay, this may be the time for you to go. And he's like, yeah, I think this might be the time to go. And Arkansas is apparently... going blank checkbook.
Hmm.
Like, we're going to pay you the most biggest salary in college basketball.
How
and
good are they?
Arkansas?
Yeah.
At times, they're good.
Yeah.
There are times when,
before,
yeah,
in the
times
90s.
They're elite at times. Nolan Richardson was the guy in the 90s, right?
Yep.
And then Mike Anderson was the guy that fought, and it was his protege who came to Mizzou.
Yes, yes.
And then went back to Arkansas, and that didn't go as great. But, like, Arkansas is kind of a cyclical one. Like, they'll have runs where they're good and times when they're not.
Do we have reason to be optimistic about Mizzou basketball?
Yeah, I think so. I think Gates has done a good job over time. Last year it didn't go very well, but he'll have to hit it in recruiting. I mean, you know, nail a couple of good recruits, which I think he has. I think he's got a pretty good recruiting class coming in this year. And then it's all about what can you snag in the portal. I mean, how many guys can you pick up that are going to step right in and contribute? His first year that happened, and they were good. And the second year it didn't work out so well, and they weren't good. So... I'm not down on Gates. I think, you know, it's a mixed bag in the first 2 years, but he seems like a sharp guy.
Not sure what'll happen there, but I do know that there is real potential for the Billikens to be the team in the state for a few years.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
That
new
could
coach,
happen.
If you could get the big, you know, get Avila in.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 152. Rach, what's Snapchat doing?
Well, they're rolling back a feature that is giving teens anxiety. It's called Solar System, and I guess it's a way of kind of measuring your friendships with people. It shows how much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Black Mirror.
It basically is like, oh, okay, so if Dave is the person I snap the most, he's the sun, and then, you know, Wheeler is the moon. And teens are looking at this and going, I'm not the rank that I thought I was in this person. I'm not even in this person's solar system, and it's giving them intense anxiety. So Snapchat is getting rid of the feature. You can still use it if you pay the $4 a month to use Snapchat Premium or whatever, but they're turning off the feature for just average everyday teens, which I think is a great thing.
Are you too young for MySpace?
No, well, I was saying it reminds me of the MySpace
top eight. But you had to physically pick your top eight.
Yes.
And then people would be like, oh, why are they number one? Why are they number two? Like,
And it's
it
terrible.
Was awful.
It is terrible to know exactly where you stand with somebody.
Yes.
I can't think of anything worse than that. Like me thinking that, like, I don't know, like me and Kevin are good friends, and Kevin, knowing how Kevin actually thinks about me, right? Like that's,
yeah.
I can't.
You know how
anything.
I actually think
point,
about.
I mean, that's a bad example because, of course, I do.
No, but I get your point because it's very rare that if you're three, that you're someone else's three. All the rankings are different. That's just how life works. So to rank, and you don't rank straight up like on your favorite. Like, what's your favorite color? That's so dumb. Friendships have, you know, so many different people that you talk to or hang out with.
Andrew, could it be that you were caught scatting today?
Yeah, what? That's why I know exactly.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Wait. You guys know. You guys know.
Like a crooner?
Yeah, the music thing.
You guys know that sometimes I'm left to my own devices, which I was today. I was getting some paperwork ready for before the show. And I was like, I guess I was like doing the like.
He's doing Scatman Crothers for like 2 minutes. And I just stopped. I'm like, what the blank are you doing?
I didn't realize I was doing it.
Kevin?
What?
You never heard of Scat?
I know it. That's why I said he sounded like Scatman Crothers. But I didn't know. I thought he was just going to stop, but he didn't stop. He just kept going.
We used to have a drop of Andrew doing that. He was like, what a bop bop. And I would play it all the time in the show to like fill time. Yeah, they were like, please stop doing that. Stop letting him sing on the air. I'm like, oh, it's a drop. I'm sorry.
I haven't done that many genius things in my career, but this one was. When Andrew first started, believe it or not, he was even more awkward. And I created 3 minutes with Andrew. And we would leave the studio and leave him in there by himself for three minutes.
Yeah.
And he would just have to fill the air.
To fill the time.
By himself?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is, I would struggle to do that now.
Do you recall any best hits?
There were no best.
That's when I realized he could scat.
Yeah. He would
boop, boop, pop. Genius. So how long did that go on?
2 minutes.
Until the same boss said you need to stop doing 3 minutes with Andrew.
I made it about two and a half minutes.
That would be appointment radio for me.
It was.
I'd be like, get ready.
What's Andrew thinking about now?
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe the greatest moment in 24 years of the DGS is when I allowed him to interview someone who he was really interested in.
Oh, man.
And the guy's name was like Mike. And he goes,
Jeff.
And he goes, so, Steve, I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else. And that was the best interview got. That was the pinnacle.